Good evening. Thank you, Dave. Jacques, I wouldn't mind seeing you there if you bring like a $40 Yankee swap gift. That'd be all right by me. So, all right. Very excited and to have this privilege to come here tonight and to be able to speak, but I must admit that it's a combination of excited and nervous. So I pray that the Lord could help me, and I wouldn't mind looking down and seeing a few smiles here and there. It's always nice when you can see someone smiling, and it doesn't look like everyone wants to kill you, so... So if we give a bit of teamwork, we can get through this together. I'd ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have a bit of reading to do, we'll be reading the whole chapter, so we'll start in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damimim. And Saul and the men were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield-bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and third Shema. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with his keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first one did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and a man of war, and he was a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David in his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistines. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And the Philistines looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, with spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses, give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all his assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand into his bag, took out a stone, and slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of his sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded Philistines fell on the road of Sherim, and even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Let's take a second and open up for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time you can come together, and we just pray that as we look into your word, that we be encouraged by what we read and by what we see, and that we could take the practical things that we read of and apply them to our lives. And we just pray that you be honored and glorified in it, and that you just bless this time. And thank you most of all for your son, his death on the cross. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, this is a story that I think it's safe to say pretty much everyone here in the room would know. And even in the secular world, it's still probably one of the most famous stories in all the Bible. And people use it a lot of the times in sports and say it's a David and Goliath matchup. So I thought it'd be a good time to just kind of reflect on the stories we kind of forget about sometimes because we figure we know them so well. And it really benefits to go back, and you can draw so many truths from it that we kind of forget about. So first off, just a very quick sum up of the Philistines. They settled on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and they were more or less Israel's archenemy. They had 5 cities named Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gaza, and Gath. And Gath is Goliath's hometown. And they really were more advanced than the Israelites as far as weaponry goes, and they were definitely their biggest threat. And they had this champion named Goliath. And he was recorded in the manuscripts as being 6 cubits in a span, which equals about 9'9". And I stand at 5'11", and that sounds really tall to me. His armor alone, his minimum, probably would have weighed 175 pounds. And the average height for a Israelite in that time was probably about 5 feet. So he stood far and tall above them. We read that his spear, in Old Testament times, how big your spear was would have indicated your success in war. And Goliath's spear was as a weaver's beam. And the head of it probably weighed about 15 to 20 pounds. So Goliath had all the attributes of a true warrior. But as we read this story, we really find out that the one thing that kind of brought him down was pride. And we read in Scripture, pride cometh before the fall. And we can take that pretty literally in this story. He was a killer, he was a man of war, and he knew it. He feared no one, including the God of Israel. He defied the armies of Israel, and with that he defied God himself, whether he realized it or not. So very practical there. We can draw that pride. A lot of the times when either Christians have a dispute or an argument, that pride is usually at the center of it, and it never turns out well. So that in our lives, whenever, whether it be school or work or whatever it is, pride is a lot of the times at the root of the problem. And there is the difference between pride and confidence, which we'll find out later. But Goliath really provided a way for Israel to kind of save themselves, the resources and the men, by promoting a one-on-one battle, that our best against your best. Unfortunately, everyone in Israel was too scared, including Saul himself, who probably could have just chosen a man and said, all right, you go to battle, and we'll see how you do. But they knew what was on the line, that if they lost, then they'd become the servants of the Philistines. So I'm sure that if Saul had the opportunity to find a man who was willing, that he would take it. So Goliath had asked Israel to choose a man, and he ended up getting a fight against God, didn't he? Goliath had defied the armies of Israel, and he was introduced to David. And just a quick look, turn back a chapter to 1 Samuel 16. I just like to read the first 13 verses. It kind of gives a good insight to kind of David's background before this had happened. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And so it was that they came, and that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord has anointed, is before him. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. And Samuel took the horn of oil and appointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And I think the key to David in this chapter, in chapter 17, is that he had the Spirit with him the whole time. We read, that's really the kind of the meat in verse 13. It says, it came upon David from that day forward. And we know that David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, we read that after the Lord had come up out of the baptismal waters, that the Spirit descended on him like a dove and stayed with him from that day forward. And that was the start of his ministry. So we'll talk a bit more about the Spirit later, but we just want to really focus tonight on how David's success was kept because the Spirit worked in him and he was willing. So for 40 days, Goliath would challenge morning and evening. We know 40 is the number of testing. Just kind of a nice little numeral point there. And David was told to go and to bring some food to his brothers. And the Bible says that he rose up early. And we can draw another point there. We talked about it on Wednesday night at the Bible study that so many times in scriptures it talks of men that rise early and are ready to go. And the word early is recorded 86 times in the Bible, and 81 of those times it talks about getting up early. And I did the math, that's 94%. So quite a few times we're encouraged to get up, and it's a good testimony for us as Christians to be up early in the morning and be active. And I've been guilty more than once of sleeping in a little bit later than I should have, and probably everyone here has. But God can't use lazy people, so we should be up and ready to serve Him for our days, because we don't have that many of them. So David got to the camp, and he dropped the food off and went to greet his brothers so he could report back to his father how they were doing. And while they were there, Goliath came out and issued his challenge, and David had heard it. And all of a sudden, the men started talking, saying, you know, the great reward that will be given to the man who can slay him. He'll be given the king's daughter, great riches, and his family be exempt from taxes. And this kind of pricked David's ears. And we kind of get the sense when we read this, he was amazed that no one would go and fight Goliath. He wondered, so he was kind of investigating what was at stake for the man who would. He had faith and knew God would deliver Israel if someone would go in his name. Both the battle and the reward was for the taking. It seemed so easy to him. And looking on this, it seems easy to us too. We see the nation of Israel, the promised land was theirs to take, but they rejected it. And we think of a practical note for salvation. It's a free gift from God. He's there giving it for us to take, and so many people reject it because they just don't want it. They want to do it on their own. So sometimes the easiest things to take are really the hardest, and we see that David was willing to step into the front lines and do what he knew God was capable of and be used by God. So I can just kind of picture at the camp, all the men started talking. I can picture the guys being standing off in the corner saying, hey, look at this guy. He thinks that he can go take on the giant. And Eliab, David's brother, is standing right there, and he hears this, and he gets kind of annoyed at David. And I'm sure that Eliab was kind of jealous because David had been anointed the king over Israel. And, right in front of him, he was right there watching it. And he kind of gets that, you know, David, why are you here? Why don't you go back to your sheep? And I was just thinking about the great job that both this assembly does and that we do at Emmanuel Bible Camp. That, you know, I look at the Awano Club, and 90% of the people who work there are young people, and the full-time staff at camp is young people. That we don't hinder our young people to go and to serve the Lord in the ways that they're called to, and that we're zealous to do it. And I know myself, consider myself a young person still. I'm ready to learn from the older people who are more experienced than I am. So why would we limit God to only using the older, experienced people? We see here that He can use anyone to defeat someone who's twice as big. So why can't we use that in our everyday lives? So I think of the verse that says, "Thou shalt not quench the spirit." We should let it, you know, flourish, and we should not extinguish it. So David realizes what's at stake, and he decides that, you know, this is something I can do through God's help. And Saul hears about the words which David spoke in verse 26, and he calls David in to see him. And David goes in before Saul, probably, I don't know how optimistic he was feeling about Saul letting him go to battle, but he pleads his case anyway, telling him about the time that, you know, he killed a bear and a lion. And believe it or not, Goliath probably weighed as much about as a bear and a lion. But he pleaded his case to Saul. And Saul, I don't know how the battle was going, but maybe he had nothing else to lose at this point. He really just let David run with it. He said, all right, you know what? May the Lord be with you. Let's see how this works. So he tried dressing him up in all his gear. And the Bible says that David tried, you know, he put on the armor and he tried walking around, and he had not tested them. And he wasn't comfortable with it. But there's a bit more to that than meets the eye, because in the Jewish culture, when you give someone your armor, a ruler is identified by his weapon a lot of the time. And when you pass that off to somebody, You were really saying, here, you can take my place. So when Saul was giving David his equipment, he was basically saying, you take my place as king of Israel and go into this battle. And we see an example of that with Elijah and Elisha, when Elijah would throw it on his mantle and Elisha would pick it up and take his place. And in chapter 18, when David would take Jonathan's equipment and he would become the heir to the throne. But God in his perfect timing didn't want that yet, even though David had been anointed king and was probably had enough faith to do it. He said, no, not yet. And David went off to battle with a staff and with a sling. So just to I'd like to take a second to look at the sling, because it's kind of, I had the great opportunity to go to Israel in April, and we got to go to the Valley of Elah, and we got to pick up the 5 smooth stones out of the riverbank, and we had a sling there, and basically it would wrap around your finger and around your wrist so it wouldn't come loose with one end. The other end would come around, and you'd hold it, and then you'd pick it up and swing it. So I got the chance to swing the sling, and I got it up over my head, and then I realized I have to let go of this thing. There's people standing like 20 feet around me, and I realized how hard it actually is to hit anything. I'd say if the giant was about 30 feet tall, I might have gotten him in the forehead because I skied the rock. But David would have had time in the field to practice his sling, and he took down the lion and the bear, I have no doubt, with the help of it. When you got nothing else to do, you might as well be, you know, shooting cans or something. So he would have had practice, and it really is an art. So he would have had time to master it. So he began to approach Goliath, and I'm sure on the way up, Goliath was probably, you know, chuckling in his boots, and the Israelites were probably shaking in their boots. The nation of Israel was probably looking at David and thinking, like, who did Saul, you know, why is this guy going up there? You might as well just get ready to go serve the Philistines. And Goliath is thinking, this is going to be the easiest thing I've ever done before. So Goliath threatens David and says that he's going to leave his body to be exposed to the birds and to the air. And in the Jewish culture, there would be no greater shame than not having a proper burial. It would probably be worse than death to not have your body buried the proper way. And then we get to David's statement, and this is, again, probably the meat of the chapter. In verse 45, just like to read it again because I do really appreciate it. And David said to the Philistine, "You come with me, come to me with sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give to the carcasses of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." It's funny that David told Goliath he cut his head off, but he didn't come into the battle with a sword. He knew already the battle was won. And he said that we will do this so that the world shall know that there is a God in Israel. The Philistines needed to hear that, and to be honest, the Israelites needed to hear that. They had the God who is active and willing to protect them. So Goliath began to charge David, and you know, the moment of truth comes, and David slings a rock and gets him in the forehead, and it embeds into his forehead, and he drops to the earth. And it's funny that Goliath drops forward and not backwards. You think you get hit in the head, you go backwards, but he goes forward. His momentum kind of carried him there. And David ran over and cut his head off with his own sword. So after that, God's army, you know, I don't know, they arose and shouted, but I don't know if it was a thing that happened right away. They were probably just in shock that this had just happened, that this 20-year-old probably had slayed the Philistine with a sling. I'm sure it would have taken a second for them to kind of take it all in and then realize, we got to get these guys now. So they started chasing the Philistines, and the Philistines fled, and they chased them probably about 10 miles all the way back to Gath. So it wasn't just a, you know, scare them off. They really chased them back, and they started killing them the whole way. I'm sure it was a bit of a bloodbath. And they came back, and they plundered the camp. So I can imagine David, you know, taking this head of the giant. Kind of sounds gross, but he took it back to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent and took it before Saul when Saul called for him. And the way it reads, it kind of seems like Saul, you know, doesn't really know who this David is. But if we think about it, he's inquiring to see who it was so he could exempt his house from the taxes in Israel. So it all, the story continues. There's a lot more that we could say about this story, but the real reason that David got victory that day is because the Spirit was working in him. And we have that same Spirit today. From the moment we're saved, the Spirit comes upon us, and it works in us if we're willing, but only if we're willing. God can't use someone who has a stubborn heart and wants to do it their own way. And we see that David was ready to go for whatever, you know, God, he knew the potential that God had, and that he would take down the giant and give Israel the victory, that God would not, you know, settle for someone defying his army, and then the army not willing to fight. So as we go throughout our lives, from day to day, that we would be able to use the Spirit, and he would use us in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. And I finished a little bit early, but that's all right. Better too early than too late, so maybe we'll just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time you come together, Lord. And we just pray that as we go throughout our lives, that your Spirit would be active in them, and that we would be able to look back on the story of David and Goliath and to see that the practical truths that we can face the giants in our lives, but only through you, and that we can have confidence in you, and that pride would not take us over. We'd be confident in our God and knowing the abilities that he has. So we just pray for the rest of the evening that you give us safety on the ride home, and you just bless this time. We just thank you most of all for your Son and his death on the cross, and we just pray these things in your name. Amen.